It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the What If segment for the week. I've got Anthony DeMarco with me tonight, and we're going over a topic and really a particular star of Booker T, which we'll focus on, that I don't think I've ever discussed here, specifically Triple H and versus Booker T. And what if? What if Booker T had actually beaten Triple H at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle? So we're going to go over that and I'm sure try to do our best to not veer off as wrestling conversations do. But how you doing tonight, Anthony?
I'm doing well, man. And I'm kind of excited because it's kind of a piggyback off of my latest rivalries episode. And I think it's a topic that a lot of people kind of dub as the worst booking decision of all time. And you don't hear about it a lot. And as we were talking about before we started recording here, do you think it's possibly because WWE does not want it to come to light in the current political environment?
Oh, no doubt about it. This is anybody that has seen this, and guys, if you haven't, as always, I recommend that you go watch this, and your jaw will hit the floor, especially with today's current political environment. I don't care what side of the aisle you fall on. That's not the point. The point is that if this was played in 2021, WWE would be under massive, massive PR pressure. I mean, they may... have riots literally at their doorsteps. They probably would have protests outside of the arena during events. This would be on every news outlet, at least in the United States anyway. I mean, it would be that big a news of how racially overtoned that this was. And what about you, Anthony? You think this would, if this was played in 2021, say this came up today, this just happened, what do you think would be the reaction?
I think it would be a lot of outrage. I think people get very upset. I mean, you know, we were talking about it, and if you go back and watch it, it's very obvious that when Triple H cuts a promo on Booker T, and even Booker T's own promo about himself where he, you know, exposes that he had spent time in jail, then Ric Flair coming out. And I just think that it would have been a painfully obvious angle that WWE was pushing at that particular time. Obviously, times were different back then. Obviously, they were kind of just playing to the environment and the political landscape and the social landscape that was going on back then. But it doesn't make it right. But it's for sure a touchy subject, and probably one of the reasons that we don't hear about this rivalry ever or this program ever, which is weird to say because if you look back in history, it's a fairly significant match. It was the first ever match that involved the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, a title that only had been in existence for 6 months at this point. So I guess when I throw it to you, aside from the racial stuff, do you think it's kind of like a shame that a program that should have so much importance and significance around it just kind of gets glossed over a bit?
Yeah, now it did, and I think it did, but it's hard to detach the racial overtones to this because I think that a lot of the racial overtones did take away from what we should have just been focusing on, and that's just Booker T as a human being, like just Booker T as a competitor, and not trying to bring race into it. And unfortunately, it did kind of really, I think, bring it down several notches. And unfortunately, also, that's how we're going to look at it. But trying to detach race, it's difficult here because it was so embedded in the fabric of this rivalry. But you take that aside, I think that you have, you know, a rivalry that is on the surface, a guy that the fans were ready to see champion, a guy that fans were behind, one of the very few successful guys that came up during the invasion and stuck around and had a successful career. There weren't many of them. I'd venture to guess like 5% or less that came up from WCW into WWE during the invasion, beyond the invasion angle, stuck around and were successful. I mean, you got the Dudleys, RVD, and others, but it was a very small select group of people, and those that were singles competitors were even more rare, and Booker T just caught on quickly. He just grasped the WWE style very well. He was magnetic. He was an entertainer with a spinneroonie. He could cut a good promo. And I think that this was one of, as you said, and many people believe, it was a really bad booking decision. When you look at some of the bad booking decisions, a lot of them, unfortunately, are with Triple H. I mean, you look at Sting and Triple H. I know that that's a legend versus legend, different kind of dynamic. But like, what the hell is Triple H doing winning here? It didn't make sense. Didn't make sense with Sting. And yeah, I mean, people will forever look at this and say, why? We were ready to make him champion. What is going on here?
When I was covering it on my Rivalries episode, I was trying to play a bit of devil's advocate. And I looked at the other four matches, or the other three matches on that card that actually went on after Booker T versus Triple H. And you had the main event that was Brock winning the WWE Championship away from Kurt Angle. You had The Rock versus Austin for the third time, Austin's eventual retirement match, and The Rock going over, beating Austin for the first time at a Mania. And McMahon versus Hogan, a match that was 20 years in the making. And I feel as though because the World Heavyweight Championship was new, they kind of went with the safe bet and just kept riding Triple H. And it wasn't just Booker T. You know, you beat guys like Scott Steiner, Rob Van Dam. I'm missing another one, Chris Jericho along the way, Kevin Nash. So do you think it was just WWE kind of playing it safe and going with an established star to legitimize a new championship that is being presented on equal footing with the WWE championship? Or do you think that they should have just pulled the trigger and gone with a guy like Booker T, even though there was a risk?
I think they were playing it safe. That's part of it. I don't think it was just one thing. I think it was a multitude of things. I think that's one. It was the fact that they wanted to play it safe. They knew that Triple H is a proven commodity. They know what he is and they know what he isn't. They know what he's capable of. Triple H is always a safe option as champion. And it felt like he was World Heavyweight Champion for like 8 years. I mean, it felt like he had that forever. And I also believe, in addition to that, the second reason is that Vince likes to feel as if he has created his own stars, that he likes his homegrown stars. And when they come from other places, you'll notice that Vince doesn't sometimes, quote, get it. Vince doesn't tend to reward guys that come over from different promotions at that time. And he likes to build people on his own. It's not his own creation. Therefore, either he doesn't get it or he doesn't have as much of an emotional attachment to that character or individual. So there's also that bringing into it as well. And of course, this is just a controversial topic in and of itself, but Vince doesn't have the greatest track record with, you know, African-American performers, and that's a whole history there that you could dive into. But I think it's a multitude of things, in what I said, again, the fact that it wasn't his own creation, Triple H is a safe option, and maybe Vince didn't at the time truly believe in the crowd reaction to Booker T. Maybe he believed that it was a superficial, just kind of fun character that the crowd was into, but didn't really feel that he could be a long-term champion, that the company was able to just put themselves on his back and go.
Well, it's a good point, because I feel like they really went with Booker T more out of necessity as opposed to want, because they started building this match like 4 weeks out from WrestleMania. And as I said, there were three other quote unquote bigger matches on the card. And you had McMahon and Hogan that was, you know, 20 years in the making, a story that kind of writes itself. You had Austin versus Rock, arguably the best rivalry of all time, the two biggest stars of all time, 5 years in the making again. And then Kurt Angle, arguably the most like respected and best worker in the industry at the time, against Brock Lesnar, the new up-and-coming star, the next big thing. And you had all of these matches and rivalries having so much steam going into WrestleMania 19. And then it just felt like Triple H versus Booker T for the World Heavyweight Championship, the world title on your flagship show, was just kind of thrown together in transition, to be put on the ride and ride shotgun with these guys. And it felt like that, like even winning a match, like a Royal Rumble to become the number one contender for the WWE Championship, like I just felt like that's something like you do to, you know, face the Intercontinental Champion at Backlash or something. You know what I mean? It just felt very forced, and that WWE didn't really care about this match because of how fast it got thrown together. And then I look at Booker T's track record leading into that match, or that program rather, And since losing the WCW championship to The Rock at SummerSlam 2001, they kind of neutered him and, you know, dumbed him down to being like a mid-car comedy act slash upper-card babyface. And I don't think he had had a one-on-one championship match before this eventual match at WrestleMania 19. So in my opinion, I don't know if you could speak to this, but they really didn't help the cause of this match in terms of excitement, because there wasn't a whole lot of build and substance to it beyond the racial overtone, as you mentioned.
Yeah, beyond that, which again is just really ill-advised. I don't care what era you're talking about, but and it felt very kind of just superficial and just not thought through. They, you know, they wanted that instant heat, and it's a heat that you don't want, because it supersedes anything you're trying to do, right? It supersedes any type of heat you're trying to generate. It generates negativity for the company, the organization itself, not in the storyline. But yeah, I mean, it felt thrown together, and it was 4 weeks out. I mean, I was talking to you before the show. I was watching the promo that they had, and it was their first interaction on March 3rd, 2003. So that tells you, yeah, they had 4 weeks, which is really impossible to believe at this time, that the World Heavyweight Championship was just not thought through, not remembered, not really anything that anybody had any long-term plans for, especially for Triple H. It wasn't like it was a no-name guy going into WrestleMania. Triple H was pretty much the resident champion there, and the fact that they didn't have anybody lined up for him at WrestleMania 19 is I mean, it's also on the company here. I mean, the company has to take a big hit on this, not just for the terrible racial overtones, but also because of the terrible preparation. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered who they put in there. Honestly, I mean, 4 weeks for WrestleMania is not enough of a build. And I know that they had SmackDown, but still, it's all of this should be on the company. I'm not putting the heat on Triple H. I don't know how much say he had in this, but it should be on creative. Vince and his creative team at that time were responsible for creating a storyline for the World Heavyweight Championship. How Triple H and the championship felt last minute is really a damn mystery. And, you know, all the racial overtones aside, it beyond whoever it was, how did they not, with an all-star roster, how did they not have somebody lined up for Triple H well in advance?
No, and that's the big problem, right? And this was the first ever WrestleMania where the brand extension was in full effect. The first ever WrestleMania where there was going to be two world championship matches. And the World Heavyweight Championship, being the newer of the two, needed a legitimate platform. And they did not get that. You know, this match went on before Hogan versus McMahon. And, you know, I would argue that Lesnar and Angle were more important in terms of world championship because of who Brock Lesnar was. But even at that, that championship is established. Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle were already main event established guys. Triple H was, but if you really had intentions of creating a star in Booker T, you had to do a better job than this. And to your point, it did no favors to Triple H or the championship itself. Because I remember watching it, and, you know, I was obviously younger at the time, but I think back to that WrestleMania, and I think it was an excellent WrestleMania, probably the most underrated of all time. But that match does not even cross my mind. It's Hogan Rock, it's, or not Hogan Rock, Rock Austin, McMahon Hogan, Undertaker's Limp Bizkit live entrance coming down the ramp. Yes. Like, that's what I think of. I never think of Triple H versus Booker T. And I think that's in large part to creative and the storyline. Like, do I think that McMahon Hogan was a good match? Not by any stretch, but I remember it because the build was so damn good. I remember the promo package was so damn good. I even remember the visual of Shane McMahon walking down the ramp at the end of the match to just help his dad. And we had not seen Shane McMahon since the end of the invasion angle. So it was pretty significant. But then you get to Triple H and Booker T. It's like a big deal because it's the first ever time the world championship is being displayed on its own at WrestleMania. And it was just such a dud, both creatively and then in the match itself, like, because the booking to have Triple H go over was just so wrong. And I just think that it did a bad number on the World Heavyweight Championship, because you always say it, championships need to feel important. And don't you think that they should have done a better job trying to legitimize the world heavyweight title on equal footing with the WWE championship?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you said. It was a new championship in WWE, albeit it had a long lineage. It was new to the roster. So yeah, you'd want to create some kind of value in that championship, show people what it means to the talent, especially the top talent. And quickly on Vince McMahon and Hogan, the one thing I'll take out of that match, obviously the build was really good. The story was there. The match, I mean, in today's quote unquote standards of a five-star match, this would be like, you know, a half star. I mean, it's just not by today's standards, but that's where the storyline can supersede how good the match is, because sometimes a storyline doesn't, you know, can really make up for the lack of physical ability of the competitors. But the one image I'll never forget, and it still makes me laugh, is when Vince McMahon has a lead pipe and he's kind of creeping over the ring apron and he has a bloody face and he's got the most like maniacal, just evil smile you've ever seen. It is absolutely hilarious. And I don't know if that was planned or not. I don't care. I remember absolutely losing it, laughing. And so if anybody wants to watch that match, go watch that match. But to Booker T and the championship, yeah, this is it's a big black hole. Like WrestleMania 19 for the World Heavyweight Championship is a black hole and a stain on the championship because of the racial stuff, because it was thrown together. It didn't feel important. Triple H was making a mockery of Booker T, not feeling like he was a true competitor. You don't do that for WrestleMania. You can do that on a B pay-per-view. And just by all accounts, this, like you said, it's the forgotten match on the show until you're reminded, oh yeah, that's that match that we don't know why Booker T lost. And there is actually something I did a little digging. Booker T recently did, in 2021, right after the Royal Rumble, did speak to this and was asked, like, you know, what do you think about this match? And he said this, quote, "The thing about that match, of course, the ending wasn't what most of the majority of the fans that night were wanting. So many people wanted me to win that night. I remember a couple of office guys said, 'Book, you should have won tonight.' And he said, 'You had a piece in it. Why didn't you speak up?'" I mean, there's a lot more stuff that he, you know, talks about, and if he'd come out of retirement and want a rematch with Triple H and that kind of thing. But he didn't really speak to the racism part of it. And I think he doesn't, because he's still under a Legends contract with WWE. So he's got to be very careful, especially in today's climate, even bringing up past stuff. I get it. But this was a stain on really everyone involved, specifically WWE itself.
So like when we get into the actual topic of the show, the headline of the show that we're doing, and it's what if Booker T won the championship. And I look at what he did after this match. He kind of slid down the card, had a run with the Intercontinental Championship, went into a pretty underrated tag team with Rob Van Dam, won the World Tag Team titles, then went over to SmackDown, had a really good rivalry with John Cena. Booker T probably like legitimized John Cena in my mind as a main event guy. Brilliant rivalry over the United States Championship, the best of seven series. And then obviously going on to getting his World Heavyweight Championship run as King Booker in 2006. So he had a pretty successful career nonetheless. But do you think had he won and become the face of Monday Night Raw, do you think he would have had a better run in the next 2 years? And do you think he would have eventually had his incredible run as King Booker in 2006?
I think King Booker was inevitable no matter what, because in 2006, you're far enough removed now that at that point, even if he had won at WrestleMania, you know, his title reign would have been over. They would have moved him, I think, down the card. What I think would have happened is kind of a Kofi Kingston experiment. I think they would have given him the Kofi Kingston treatment, meaning giving him, like, you know, WrestleMania to SummerSlam. You see that a lot. Anytime somebody wins a championship, we saw it with Bianca Belair this past year, Kofi Kingston. Yeah, exactly. So I think that that's what they would have done. They would have given him the old, you know, 4 month parade to take a victory lap. And that's what they would have done, I think. And do I think it would have helped his career? Sure, especially out of the gate. I think it would have excelled quicker. I don't think ultimately we'd look back and go, oh man, that's a make or break for his entire career. I don't think that, because it was thrown together. and assuming the time frame is the same, everything else is the same except for the fact that he won the match, the people were behind it. And I think that if he had won it, people would have been like, okay, cool, let's ride this wave and see where it goes. It wasn't as intense as a Daniel Bryan movement. You know, it wasn't as a grassroots movement like that. But people, I think, would have had a lot of fun with it. And I don't think Vince was ready to say, you know, let's make a mockery of the championship, as he probably would have put it, that we need somebody serious in there. And, you know, Booker T could be serious. Like, Booker T has cut some really good serious promos. He wasn't just an entertainer. But I think ultimately, to get back on track, he would have excelled quicker. But I don't think he would have risen higher ultimately in his career, because they would have given him the 4-month SummerSlam, that's where things end treatment.
I agree, because I think that had he won this championship, it would have ultimately gone down in history in like a Benoit way. Benoit got his one World Heavyweight Championship run, and then we never really saw it again, and he kind of eventually found his home as an upper mid-card guy. John Bradshaw Layfield, too. I feel like over the years, we kind of see those wrestlers just kind of get, like, I don't know if it's more like a 10-year trophy, but you've been here so long that you're going to get that one world title run just to establish yourself as, like, a Hall of Famer when all is said and done. Obviously, we saw that with JBL. I think Christian kind of falls into that mold as well. And I do ultimately think that Booker T is more of an upper mid-card U.S. Intercontinental Champion type of guy. But I am happy that he got his run in 2006 because he deserved it. And I would have liked to see it as a babyface in 2003, where you still had a bit of memory and there was some recency with the tail end of his run in WCW as the 5-time WCW champion. But I look at the rosters at that time, and I already kind of spoke to this about them going with Triple H as the safe choice, but they kind of really stacked SmackDown at that time. And I feel like it was because they were trying to establish it as a legitimate equal to Monday Night Raw. And you had Brock, who was the biggest rising star, Kurt Angle, The Undertaker, Big Show, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit as well at that time. And I looked at Monday Night Raw, and you had Shawn Michaels for sure, but we all know he didn't want to run with the main championship. And after that, it seemed like it was a bunch of upper mid-card guys like Booker T, like Christian, like Jericho, like Kane. So do you think it was kind of because, or you've already said that it's for numerous reasons, but do you think a big factor was because they didn't want to roll the dice with a guy like Booker T when SmackDown was so stacked at that time?
That could be another reason, right? I mean, that's why I'm saying this is a multi-layered reason. It wasn't just Vince McMahon's racist, although I think that, you know, you can make a case for it over the years in terms of his booking. However, I think that the way and how quickly this was thrown together, they looked at this and go and said to themselves, let's just find an opponent for Triple H. Let's get through WrestleMania so we can get to Triple H's next real opponent. This is just a pit stop. He's a stepping stone. And let's get Triple H past Mania, which is unfortunate that we don't have a real opponent for him. Let's get him through it, find a credible opponent, and then get to Triple H, his next real competitor. And it turned out to be true, because that's exactly what happened. Triple H, after he won, I mean, who did he go on to after he beat Booker T?
That's the funny part that I was going to get to, because Booker T, to your point, was kind of just stepping stones along the way in a long list of guys. You went from Scott Steiner to Booker T, then he went to actually Kevin Nash, and I believe they had a Hell in a Cell match at the one time only pay-per-view Insurrection. Then you had the Katie Vick angle with Kane. And then eventually in the late summer, he got to Goldberg, who was like the eventual real destination. But between Shawn Michaels in late 2002 that culminated at Armageddon and Goldberg in August of 2003, you had Steiner, Booker T, Kevin Nash, and Kane, who were all just like illegitimate opponents, in my opinion. And I guess it's to your point, like when you think about all those guys that were all jumbled together between the two legitimate threats for Triple H, do you think it kind of waters down the legitimacy of Booker T's match at Mania?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the guys that you mentioned, I think out of beyond Goldberg, I mean, I don't think anybody was behind Scott Steiner, honestly. I mean, Scott Steiner, I'm sorry, the guy I don't know how anybody could position him as a babyface. He's an awful worker, or was an awful worker. The steroid allegations, which I think are founded. I mean, there's nothing about Scott Steiner outside of his biceps being just insanely big, like inhumanely big, that he was appealing, and him coming out in the mesh on his head and all that stuff. Yeah, it was just bizarre. And I remember him and Stacy Keibler having some kind of really, really off-color partnership there. And yeah, him and Triple H having a benching contest, all this weird stuff. And yeah, so I think with Booker T kind of in that mix, it never felt like Triple H's championship was truly in peril until, like you said, Goldberg came along. But you have, I think, Kane. I know Katie Vick is one of the most infamous storylines ever because of how terrible it was, but how hilarious it was. It's almost so bad that it's good. but you have, to me, I'm such a big fan of Kane that anytime he was in a championship opportunity, I said, okay, because of how devastating he was early in his career, I said, maybe they're going to try to reinvent him here. I actually thought, even though I knew the Katie Vick stuff was really, really bad, that Kane was still a legitimate threat because it's Kane. He is a WWE creation. I know he was Dr. Isaac Yankum. But then transformed to Kane in 97. But he was a guy that was created from Vince McMahon. I mean, he was an offshoot, the brother of The Undertaker. Hey, why not? He's not a WCW guy. So to me, I thought Kane could have a chance despite how terrible the storyline was with Katie Vick. But yeah, this discredited Booker T. But you're right. Ultimately, he did go on to have a pretty good, not a really good, but a Hall of Fame career. And the King Booker, to me, was the icing on the cake.
You kind of already answered this, but just to close it out, when you look at Booker T now, how do you ultimately view him? And do you think your perception of him would have changed had he won that match at WrestleMania 19?
I look at Booker T, and it's funny because I don't really give Booker T too much thought because he's not on the camera too much. He's not a guy that you think about too much. I know he's got his own podcast and everything, but so does everybody else, right? So this is a guy that I respect highly. I look at his body of work all the way back to the Harlem Heat in WCW. I watched a little bit of him. Obviously, when he came to WWE, had a program with The Rock and just we said Triple H. He was in a tag team with RVD, as you said. And I look at his body of work and I'm like, man, this guy really did put on a really, really good career. King Booker with Queen Charmel was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I loved that. You know, and I look at his career and I don't think I would, you know, honestly, you could almost make the case that having him not win at WrestleMania was better for his career because it exposed some of the things that were really wrong with WWE, and the fans were almost got behind him more than if he had won and maybe it wasn't a successful run. I mean, so the fact that the fans were so pissed off that the company didn't put the strap on Booker T, and some are still really mad about it today, and some of people are like, what, why didn't they do that? I think you have people looking at this saying, yeah, this is a systemic problem in WWE with African-American competitors. Obviously, I mean, things have seemingly changed, at least in storyline today, but I think you have people who are now behind Booker T even more and look at his career as him being champion. He should have won the championship, and just, I think, feeling like this guy deserved more at WrestleMania that particular moment. But I honestly don't think in this grand scheme of things that I'd look at his career any different than I did now, because it would have been, in my mind, again, a short run.
Yeah, I'm actually with you, and I'm going to be in the minority here. I actually think it was the right decision for him to not to win. And maybe it's just because I take the championships very seriously, and I think only the best of the best should win them. And I feel like nowadays in WWE, guys kind of get like membership awards, like, oh, you've been here long enough, you get a run with the world title. You do. Like a guy like Christian. I love Christian. Should he ever be regarded as a former world champion? I'm not sure. That's probably a reason why I was so upset when they put the title in Jinder Mahal. I was so upset when they put the title in Kofi Kingston. I just think that because it's a simulated sport, in sports, only the best of the best win the world title. And you don't get it because you've kicked around long enough. You know what I mean? Like, I could use hockey for an example. The Toronto Maple Leafs have been around for 100 years, but they haven't won a championship since 1967 because they're not the best. The Boston Red Sox in baseball went 100 years without winning a championship. They didn't just get awarded one because they had been around for a long time. That being said, I'm happy that Booker T did eventually get a world title run, because I think when he went on to be King Booker, he earned his right to be regarded as a main event guy. I think that character was a main event guy, similar to what JBL did when he reinvented himself in 2005. I found their runs very similar in a lot of ways. But in 2003, I liked Booker T. I liked him as a babyface. But was he more than just a mid-card champion-worthy level guy? At that point in time, I don't think he was worthy of a world title run. Maybe it's a heel turn for me tonight, but that's just my unpopular opinion.
Well, no, and here's the thing, right? Like, we're so, and this is, we're all blinded by this because of the racial overtones and how bad they were. Guys, go watch it. It's really, like, it's striking. It's striking, and it will just completely saturate your whole view of the storyline, and that's the problem. We're all blinded by that, but if you just take this objectively and say, hey, this is an opponent for Triple H at WrestleMania. You're only building this 4 weeks ahead of time. And this is a guy that is not normally a main eventer. What the hell is going on? And does this guy really deserve to be in this spot? And you could argue no, because they haven't built a foundation for him to get to this level where he could be believable to beat Triple H. So again, take the racial stuff aside. I think we're all blinded by it. And you would say, yeah, no, Booker T should not have won based on what they did from a storyline perspective to build him up. Now, if it was a progressive long-term plan where you saw him, you know, from late in 2002 start to, you know, bust into the main event, have some really good matches, get some big victories, maybe go to the Royal Rumble, win the Royal Rumble, things kind of evolve, then it would make sense. Then you go, okay, fans are really starting to get behind him. Maybe it's time to put the strap on him. But instead, they did this with a 20-man over the top rope battle royal the week before. They have their first interactions 4 weeks before WrestleMania, and then we're supposed to believe that he's a credible opponent to Triple H. So again, if we remove the racial stuff, anybody else would say, yeah, you know what? That does make sense that Triple H just kind of steamrolled him.
Do you think, racial stuff aside, that making Triple H go over in that match was the right decision?
If you yes. If you take that out of it, and I know I just made the case earlier for most people think he should have won, and yeah, I think he should have won, but only because of how poorly they treated him. Like, we got to look at why, right? We have to look at why do people feel like he should have won? Because he really only had a 4 week build outside of shock and awe. And I get it. And maybe he would have had a very successful 4 or 5 month run, whatever it is. But I think people look at that, and only because of the racial stuff, we go, yeah, that, you know, he should have at least been awarded this because he was demeaned by Triple H, saying his hair is nappy and all this stuff. I mean, guys, it's bad. And so I think that if you remove the racial stuff, he doesn't deserve it. But since it was included, you felt like WWE was setting him up to succeed, to overcome that and be able to just show, hey, you know, no matter your race or color in this company, you can succeed. And instead, they did the exact opposite. So I think the racial stuff is the reason why people feel like he should have won.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that all in all, they just really did Booker T a disservice, because not only did he not go over, but it wasn't even a memorable program. And I think that's the worst thing in all of this. You did it such on a whim. Clearly, they pulled it out of left field. They had no one else for Triple H. And then that's the way that you choose to build it, based heavily on racial overtone. It's just all in all such a missed opportunity. And not so much for the outcome, contrary to what many people believe. I don't even mind the outcome so much. I just think the way they built the match was a travesty.
Especially for WrestleMania. You're right. Because maybe we all have a different opinion had they built this properly. And then there was no racial stuff. And then they just decided to say, nope, Triple H wins. You know, it's just the way that the whole thing was built No time to build. Racial stuff just as supposed to be an instant heat getter. And then he just lose clean to Triple H. And then that's that. Yeah. This was like a perfect storm for people to say, what the hell is going on here? It was bad on all levels. It made the company look bad for supporting essentially racism. It was bad for Booker T, who then went back to the kind of mid-card, upper card, and then kind of stayed there for a little while. Triple H continued to be champion until Goldberg came back. It was just bad on all levels. And the match itself, by the way, it was fine. It was okay. It wasn't anything you write home about. I mean, Triple H won with a pedigree, and you know, that was that.
And the other thing was I found the ending very, very sloppy of that match. Like, it looked almost like someone missed, like, a cue or something. And in typical Triple H fashion, he had Ric Flair interfering on the outside. So, yeah, just... maybe they could have saved it with like a very like knock it out of the park type of performance, but it was just very average as far as the in-ring stuff goes.
Yeah, nothing about this was good. So, but guys, I really recommend you go watch it just for the fact of shock and awe of where WWE was, where our culture was, where... you know, where we were as a society in 2003, where nobody was putting up a stink about this. I mean, you may have heard a little rumblings here and there. Just, it will shock you to the core of the stuff that was passed on WWE national television for millions of people to see. And, you know, nobody really made that big of a deal about it. So, yeah, definitely. This is a dark time for Booker T. Ultimately, though, he ends up having a Hall of Fame career. One last question to you. Would you ever want to see a Booker T in-ring return, just like a one-off?
Honestly, maybe Goldberg has ruined it for me, but I have such a hard time getting behind any old-timers coming back, to be quite honest with you. I just think that what's done is done. He kind of already did it when he returned to the Rumble in 2012 or something. I just think that too many guys come back to the ring and then ruin your memories about them. And I think Booker T is one of those guys that got out right at the right time where he didn't taint his own reputation. So I don't know, maybe I'm just it's recency bias because of all the Goldberg returns, the unwanted Goldberg returns. But I think you should just let sleeping dogs lie at this point.
As long as, yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't mind like a Spinneroonie if he comes back and he's like, maybe he guest hosts Raw once or something, or he just you know, hits his scissor kick and does a Spinneroonie. Like, that's fine. I just don't want him out there standing there like a statue for somebody's music video, like he did with Bad Bunny.
Oh my God, like, that was so bad.
Anything but that. Like, I will take anything but that. So. All right. Well, Anthony, as always, such a blast. I know that we went over a little bit, but it felt like 5 minutes we've been talking. So certainly next week, maybe we'll up our up things and not talk about something so dark and so just shocking. And I'm sure we'll come up with something during the week. But if you guys have suggestions, by the way, send them to us at realwwpodcast@gmail.com. So Anthony, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
As always, man, I had a blast and looking forward to it next week.
Awesome. And everybody, go check out his rivalries from last week. It does cover the Booker T versus Triple H rivalry in more detail even than we covered tonight. So, Anthony, thanks so much, and we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, man. Take it easy.
You too.